Kala D'Yeshua, The Gospel of Mark. Living Draft, July 25th, 2026. Mark, Chapter 1. The beginning of the hopeful news of Yeshua the Anointed, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will clear your road. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Ready the road for God. Make his pathways straight. So John came, the one immersing in the wilderness, proclaiming an immersion of turning around for the release of errors. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem. They were immersed by him in the Jordan River, confessing their errors. John went clothed in camel's hair, a leather belt girded around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this is what he proclaimed. One stronger than I is coming after me. I am not fit to bend down and loosen the strap of his sandals. I have immersed you in water, but he will immerse you in the sacred Ruha. Ruha, breath wind spirit. In those days, Yeshua came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was immersed in the Jordan by John. And right away, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn open and Ruha coming down on him like a dove. And a voice came out of the heavens. You are my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased. And at once he was led by Ruha into the place of leading, the wilderness. He was there 40 days, tested by the adversary. He was among the wild animals, and the angels were caring for him. After John was handed over, Yeshua came into Galilee proclaiming the hopeful news of God. The time has come, he said, and the reign of God has drawn near. Turn around and trust into the hopeful news. As he passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Yeshua said to them, and I will make you fishers of people. And right away, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in their boat mending the nets. At once he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went off after him. They went into Capernaum, and on the Sabbath he went straight into the gathering and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one who has authority, and not as the scribes. Just then, in their gathering, there was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What do you want with us, Yeshua of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the one set apart by God. Yeshua rebuked him, Be silent, and come out of him. The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, gave a great shriek, and came out of him. They were all so amazed that they began asking one another, What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And the report of him went out right away, everywhere, through the whole region around Galilee. Leaving the gathering, they went straight to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and right away they told him about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, when the sun had set, they brought him all who were sick and those troubled by evil spirits. The whole town was gathered at the door. He healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he drove out many evil spirits. He would not let the evil spirits speak, because they knew him. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. Simon and those with him went hunting for him. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone is looking for you." "Let us go somewhere else," he said, "to the neighboring villages, so I can proclaim there too. That is why I have come." So he went through all Galilee, proclaiming in their gatherings and driving out the evil spirits. A man with leprosy came to him, begging him. He fell on his knees and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved to the depths with compassion, Yeshua reached out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And right away the leprosy left him, and he was clean. Yeshua sent him off at once with a stern warning. "See that you say nothing to anyone. Go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But the man went out and began to proclaim it freely, spreading the word, so that Yeshua could no longer go openly into a town. He stayed outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. Mark chapter 2. A few days later he came back to Capernaum, and word spread that he was home. So many gathered that there was no more room, not even at the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man to him, four of them lifting him. They couldn't get him close because of the crowd, so they opened the roof above Yeshua, dug through it, and lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Yeshua saw their trust, he said to the paralyzed man, "Child, your errors are released." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, turning it over in their hearts. "Why does this man talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can release errors but God alone?" At once Yeshua recognized in his spirit that they were reasoning this way, and he said to them, "Why are you turning this over in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your errors are released,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But so you will know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to release errors." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up, took his mat right away, and walked out in front of them all, so that they were all astonished and praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." He went out again beside the sea, and the whole crowd kept coming to him, and he taught them. As he was passing by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. "Follow me," he said, and Levi got up and followed him. Later, while Yeshua was reclining at the table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and those who missed the mark were reclining with him and his students. There were many, and they were following him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw him eating with those who missed the mark and the tax collectors, they said to his students, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and those who miss the mark?" Yeshua heard it and said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I did not come to call those doing what is right, but those who miss the mark." John's students and the Pharisees were fasting. People came and asked him, "Why do John's students and the students of the Pharisees fast, but your students do not?" Yeshua said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth onto an old coat. If he does, the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear gets worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine bursts the skins, and both the wine and the skins are lost. No, new wine goes into fresh wineskins. One Sabbath he was passing through the grain fields, and his students began to make their way, pulling heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what isn't allowed on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and the men with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence which only the priests are allowed to eat, and gave some to the men with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath came to be for the sake of the human, not the human for the sake of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is master even of the Sabbath." Mark Chapter 3. He went into the gathering again, and a man was there with a withered hand. They were watching him closely, to see if he would heal the man on the Sabbath, so they could bring a charge against him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up, come into the middle." Then he said to them, "Is it allowed on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To make a self live or to kill?" But they kept silent. He looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their hearts, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was made whole again. The Pharisees went out and at once began to plot with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Yeshua withdrew with his students toward the sea, and a great many followed from Galilee and from Judea, and from Jerusalem and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and from around Tyre and Sidon. A great many, hearing all he was doing, came to him. So he told his students to keep a small boat ready for him, because of the crowd, so they would not press in on him. For he had healed so many that all who had afflictions were pushing forward to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he warned them sharply not to make him known. He went up the mountain and called the ones he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 to be with him and for him to send them out to proclaim and to have authority to drive out the evil spirits. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. To them he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who also handed him over. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat bread. When his own family heard it, they went out to take hold of him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who had come down from Jerusalem were saying, "Beelzebul is in him, and, by the ruler of the evil spirits, he drives out the evil spirits." So he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can the adversary drive out the adversary? If a rain is divided against itself, that rain cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. So if the adversary has risen against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. But no one can go into a strong man's house and carry off his goods unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I tell you. Every error will be released for the children of men, and every slander they speak. But whoever slanders the sacred Ruha will never be released, not in any age, but is guilty of an error beyond time. He said this because they were saying, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent word to him, calling him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside, asking for you." He answered them, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in a circle about him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the unfolding will of God, that one is my brother and sister and mother." Mark chapter 4. Again he began to teach beside the sea. Such a great crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there on the water, while the whole crowd stayed on the shore at the edge of the sea. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was shallow. But when the sun rose, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it gave no fruit. And some fell on good soil. It came up and grew and bore fruit, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times over. And he said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, those around him, with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you the secret of the reign of God has been given, but to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may look and never see, and listen and never understand, or they might turn around and be released." Then he said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, the adversary comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they welcome it right away with joy, but they have no root in themselves and last only a while. Then, when trouble or hunting comes because of the word, they fall away immediately. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age and the lie of riches and craving for everything else come in and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. And these are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word and welcome it and bear fruit, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times over. And he said to them, "Does a lamp come in to be put under a measuring basket or under the bed? Isn't it to be set on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden that will not be brought to light, and nothing is concealed that will not come out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you use will be measured back to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given, and whoever has not, even what he has will be taken from him." And he said, "The reign of God is like this. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or rises, the seed sprouts and grows, he does not know how. All on its own the earth bears fruit, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. And as soon as the grain is ready, he sends in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "How can we picture the reign of God? What parable can we set it in? It is like a mustard seed. When it is sown on the ground, it is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet once it is sown, it comes up and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, and puts out branches so big that the birds of heaven can nest in its shade." With many parables like these, he spoke the word to them, as much as they were able to hear. He did not speak to them without a parable, but in private he explained everything to his own students. That day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat, and other boats were with him. A great windstorm rose up, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going under?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." And the wind dropped, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no trust?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Mark Chapter 5. They crossed to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. As Yeshua stepped out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit met him right away, coming from the tombs. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Many times he had been bound with shackles and chains, but he tore the chains apart and broke the shackles to pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Yeshua from far off, he ran and fell down before him, and he shouted with a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Yeshua, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, by God, do not torment me." For Yeshua was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Yeshua asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion is my name," he said, "because we are many." And he begged Yeshua again and again not to send them out of the country. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The spirits begged him, "Send us into the pigs. Let us go into them." Yeshua let them, and the unclean spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they drowned in the sea. The herdsmen ran off and told it in the town and in the countryside, and the people came out to see what had happened. They came to Yeshua and saw the man who had been troubled by evil spirits sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the same man the legion had held, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them what had happened to the man who had been troubled by evil spirits and about the pigs. Then they began to beg Yeshua to leave their region. As Yeshua was getting into the boat, the man who had been freed from the evil spirits begged to stay with him, but Yeshua would not let him. "Go home to your own people," he said, "and tell them how much God has done for you and how he had compassion on you." So the man went off and began to proclaim throughout the Decapolis how much Yeshua had done for him, and everyone was amazed. When Yeshua had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he was beside the sea. One of the leaders of the gathering came, a man named Jairus. When he saw Yeshua, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him again and again. "My little daughter is at the point of death," he said. "Come and lay your hands on her, so she may be made well and live." So Yeshua went with him, and a large crowd followed, pressing in on him. And there was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered much under many doctors and spent everything she had, and it did her no good. Instead, she grew worse. She had heard about Yeshua, so she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she kept saying, "If I just touch his clothes, I will live." At once the flow of her blood dried up, and she knew in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Right away, Yeshua knew in himself that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His students said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Yeshua kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, afraid and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your trust has made you well. Go in wholeness and stay healed of your affliction." While Yeshua was still speaking, some came from the house of the leader of the gathering. "Your daughter has died," they said. "Why trouble the teacher any further?" But Yeshua overheard what they said, and he told the leader of the gathering, "Don't be afraid. Only keep trusting." And he let no one come with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the leader of the gathering, and Yeshua saw the uproar, people weeping and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this uproar and weeping? The child has not died. She is sleeping." And they laughed at him. But Yeshua put them all out, took the child's father and mother and those with him, and went in to where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." At once the little girl stood up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And right away they were beside themselves with great amazement. Then Yeshua gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Mark, chapter 6. He left there and came to his hometown, and his students followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the gathering. Many who heard him were astonished. "Where did this man get all this?" they said. "What is this wisdom given to him, and these works of power done through his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us?" And they stumbled over him. Yeshua said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own house." And he could do no work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few who were sick and healed them. And he was amazed at their lack of trust. Then he went around the villages, teaching. He called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He told them to take nothing for the road except a staff, no bread, no bag, no copper in their belts, but to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. And any place that will not welcome you or listen to you, when you leave, shake the dust off the soles of your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should turn around. They drove out many evil spirits, and they rubbed oil on many who were sick and healed them. King Herod heard about it, for Yeshua's name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Immerser has been raised from the dead, and that is why these powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He is Elijah," and others, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard it, he said, "John, the one I beheaded, he has been raised." For Herod himself had sent and seized John and bound him in prison, on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. John had been telling Herod, "It is not allowed for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias held a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, For Herod feared John, knowing he was a man who was right and set apart, and he kept him safe. When Herod listened to John, he was deeply unsettled, and yet he liked to listen to him. The chance came on Herod's birthday, when he gave a banquet for his nobles and his commanders and the leading men of Galilee. The daughter of Herodias came in and danced, and she pleased Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And he swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Immerser." At once she hurried into the king and made her request. "I want you to give me, right now, on a platter, the head of John the Immerser," she said. The king was deeply grieved, but because of his oaths and his guests, he would not break his word to her. Right away, the king sent a guard and ordered him to bring John's head. The man went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When John's students heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Those he had sent gathered around Yeshua and told him all they had done and all they had taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a little." For many were coming and going, and they had no chance even to eat. So they went off in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. But many saw them leaving and recognized them. And from all the towns they ran there on foot and got there ahead of them. When he came ashore, he saw a large crowd, and his heart went out to them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already late, his students came to him and said, "This place is deserted, and it's already late. Send them away, so they can go to the farms and villages around here and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to have everyone sit down in groups on the green grass. So they reclined in rows of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and spoke the blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to his students to keep setting before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. Just then he made his students get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, toward Bethsaida, while he sent the crowd away. And after saying goodbye to them, he went up the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea, and he meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them. "Take heart," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind dropped. And they were utterly beside themselves, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, the people recognized him and ran through that whole region and began to carry the sick on their mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or towns or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Mark Chapter 7. The Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him. They saw that some of his students were eating bread with defiled hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Judeans, holding to the tradition of the elders, do not eat unless they wash their hands carefully. And when they come from the market, they do not eat unless they immerse themselves. They hold to many other washings too: cups, pitchers, copper pots, and dining couches. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why don't your students walk by the tradition of the elders? Why do they eat bread with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah said it well when he prophesied about you actors. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart stays far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrine the rules of men.' You let go of the command of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "How well you set aside the command of God to keep your own tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever curses father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man tells his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might have had from me is korban,' that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. And so you cancel the word of God by the tradition you have handed down, and you do many things like this." Again, he called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing outside a person can defile him by going into him. It is what comes out of a person that defiles him." When he had gone indoors, away from the crowd, his students asked him about the riddle. He said to them, "Are you also without understanding? Don't you see that nothing going into a person from outside can defile him? It doesn't go into his heart, but into his belly, and then goes out into the latrine." So he made all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person, that is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a person, come bad thoughts: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lust, an envious eye, slander, pride, folly. All these wrongs come from within, and they defile a person." He got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. He went into a house and wanted no one to know, but he could not stay hidden. Right away, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept begging him to drive the evil spirit out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children eat their fill first. It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Master, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For saying this, go. The evil spirit has left your daughter." She went home and found the child lying on the bed, and the evil spirit gone. Then he left the region of Tyre again, and came by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the heart of the Decapolis. They brought him a man who was deaf and could barely speak, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside from the crowd, alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, groaned, and said to him, "Ethpata," which means, "Be opened." And at once his ears were opened, the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Yeshua ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the the more widely they proclaimed it. They were beyond astonished, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the speechless speak." Mark chapter 8. In those days the crowd was large again and had nothing to eat. So he called his students and said to them, "My heart goes out to this crowd. They have stayed with me 3 days now, and they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll give out on the way, and some of them have come from far off." His students answered him, "Where could anyone find enough bread to feed these people out here in the wilderness?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they said. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, broke them, and kept giving them to his students to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and he blessed them and said to keep setting these before the people too. They ate and were filled, and they gathered up the leftover pieces, 7 baskets full. There were about 4,000 of them. Then he sent them away. At once he got into the boat with his students and came to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him. To test him, they kept demanding a sign from heaven. He groaned deeply within himself and said, "Why does this generation demand a sign? Amen, I tell you. No sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. He warned them, "Watch out! Keep your eyes open for the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." And they kept talking it over with one another, saying they had no bread. He knew it, and said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Don't you see yet? Don't you understand? Are your hearts hardened? You have eyes but don't see? You have ears but don't hear? Don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of pieces did you gather?" 12, they told him. "And the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you gather?" 7, they said. And he said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought him a blind man and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Then he spat on his eyes, laid his hands on him, and asked him, "Do you see anything?" The man looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Then he laid his hands on the man's eyes again, and the man looked hard, and his sight came back, and he saw everything clearly. Yeshua sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Yeshua and his students went out to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his students, "Who do people say I am?" They answered him, "John the Immerser. Others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Anointed One." And he warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But he turned, looked at his students, and rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, adversary," he said. "Your mind is not on what concerns God, but on what concerns people." Then he called the crowd to him along with his students and said to them, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to keep his life alive will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the hopeful news will make it live. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could a man give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this unfaithful generation that misses the mark, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the majesty of his Father with the sacred angels. Mark chapter 9. And he said to them, Amen, I tell you, some standing here will not taste death until they see the reign of God come in power. 6 days later, Yeshua took Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, alone. And there he was transformed before them. His clothes became dazzling, whiter than any launderer on earth could ever bleach them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Yeshua. Peter spoke up and said to Yeshua, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud came and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. And all at once they looked around and saw no one with them anymore, only Yeshua. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this to themselves, asking each other what rising from the dead could mean. And they asked him, Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? He told them, Elijah does come first, and he restores everything. And how is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be treated with scorn? But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, just as it is written of him. When they came back to the other students, they saw a large crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And right away, when the whole crowd saw him, they were astonished and ran up to greet him. He asked them, What are you arguing about with them? One of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that takes his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and goes stiff. I asked your students to drive it out, but they could not. He answered them, You faithless generation, how long must I be with you? How long must I bear with you? Bring him to me. So they brought the boy to him. And the moment the spirit saw Yeshua, it convulsed the boy, and he fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming. Yeshua asked the father, How long has this been happening to him? He said, Since he was a child. Many times it has thrown him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. Yeshua said to him, If you can, everything is possible for the one who trusts. At once the boy's father cried out, I trust. Help my lack of trust. When Yeshua saw the crowd rushing in, he rebuked the unclean spirit. You spirit of muteness and deafness, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. It shrieked and convulsed him violently and came out, and the boy was like a corpse. So that many said, He is dead. But Yeshua took him by the hand and lifted him, and he stood up. When he had gone indoors, his students asked him privately, Why couldn't we drive it out? He told them, This kind can come out by nothing but prayer. They left there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his students. He told them, The Son of Man is being handed over into human hands, and they will kill him, and once he is killed, After 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum, and once he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had argued with each other about who was greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and stood him in their midst, and folding the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one little child like this in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out evil spirits in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." But Yeshua said, "Don't stop him. No one who works a wonder in my name can quickly speak against me. Whoever is not against us is for us, and whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to the anointed, amen. I tell you, he will not lose his reward. And whoever causes one of these little ones who trust into me to stumble, better for him to be thrown into the sea with a great millstone around his neck. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Better to enter into life maimed than to keep both hands and go off into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire." Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom outside Jerusalem, a place of fire and refuse. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. Better to enter into life lame than to keep both feet and be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. Better to enter the reign of God with one eye than to keep both eyes and be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm never dies and the fire is never put out, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt loses its saltness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and live in wholeness with one another. Mark chapter 10. He left there and went into the region of Judea, beyond the Jordan, and again the crowds gathered to him. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him, asking whether a man is allowed to send his wife away. He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." Yeshua said to them, "He wrote you this command because your hearts are hard. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, then, let no one separate." Back in the house, the students asked him about this again. He said to them, "Whoever sends his wife away and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she sends her husband away and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him so he might touch them, but the students rebuked them. When Yeshua saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. The reign of God belongs to ones like these. Amen, I tell you. Whoever does not welcome the reign of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. As he was setting out on the road, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life of hidden time?" Yeshua said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commands. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. "Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept since I was young." Yeshua looked at him and loved him, and he said, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this word his face fell, and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Yeshua looked around and said to his students, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the reign of God." The students were stunned at his words. But Yeshua said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the reign of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the reign of God." They were astonished beyond measure, saying to one another, "Then who can live?" Yeshua looked at them and said, "For people it is impossible, but not for God. For God, everything is possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Yeshua said, "Amen, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the hopeful news, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this present time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields, along with being hunted, and in the age to come, life of hidden time. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." They were on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Yeshua was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those following were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was about to happen to him. "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the outsiders. They will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit, one at your right and one at your left, in your majesty." Yeshua said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be immersed with the immersion I am immersed with?" They said to him, "We can." Yeshua said to them, "The cup I drink you will drink, and with the immersion I am immersed with you will be immersed. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. Yeshua called them to him and said, "You know that those regarded as rulers of the outsiders dominate them, and their great ones throw their weight around. It is not so among you. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." They came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his students and a large crowd, a blind beggar, Bartimaeus son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that it was Yeshua the Nazarene, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Yeshua, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, telling him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Yeshua stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, telling him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Yeshua. Yeshua answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabuni, let me see again." Yeshua said to him, "Go, your trust has made you well." and at once he saw again and followed him on the road. Mark chapter 11. As they came near Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Yeshua sent two of his students ahead, telling them, "Go into the village across from you. Right away, as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, one no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The master needs it, and he'll send it back here right away.'" So they went and found a colt tied at a doorway, outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of those standing there asked them, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered just as Yeshua had told them, and the people let them go. They brought the colt to Yeshua and threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut from the fields. And those going ahead and those following kept shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Blessed is the coming reign of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he went into Jerusalem, into the temple. He looked around at everything, and since the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. From far off he saw a fig tree in leaf, and he went to see if he could find anything on it. But when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. So he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his students were listening. They came to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple and began to drive out those buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves, and he would not let anyone carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the scribes heard this and looked for a way to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, since the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Yeshua answered them, "Have trust in God. Amen, I tell you. Whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and is not divided in his heart, but trusts that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So I tell you, whatever you pray for, trust that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, release it, so that your Father in the heavens may release you from your wrongs." They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you the authority to do them?" Yeshua said to them, "I'll ask you one thing. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. John's immersion, was it from heaven or from people? Answer me." They discussed it among themselves. "If we say, 'From heaven,' he'll say, 'Then why didn't you trust him?' But if we say, 'From people,'" they were afraid of the crowd, for they all held that John truly was a prophet. So they answered Yeshua, "We don't know." And Yeshua said to them, "Then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Mark chapter 12. Then he began to speak to them in parables. "A man planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it, dug out a winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went away. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized the slave, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent them another slave. That one they struck on the head and shamed. And he sent another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some they beat, and some they killed. He still had one, a beloved son. Last of all, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him and killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy those tenants, and give the vineyard to others. Have you never read this scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from God, and it is a wonder in our eyes. They were looking for a way to seize him, but they were afraid of the crowd, for they knew he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Then they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him to trap him in his own words. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and that you don't bend for anyone, because you show no partiality but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay the tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not?" But he saw through their pretense. "Why are you testing me?" he said. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought one, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they told him. Then Yeshua said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. Then the Sadducees came to him, the ones who say there is no rising, and they put a question to him. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no child, the man is to marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first married, and when he died, he left no offspring. The second married her, and he died leaving no offspring, and the third the same. None of the seven left offspring. Last of all, the woman died too. In the rising, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven were married to her." Yeshua said to them, "Isn't this why you are wandering off, because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the messengers in the heavens. And about the dead being raised, haven't you read in the book of Moses, at the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken." Then one of the scribes came up. He had heard them debating, and seeing that Yeshua had answered them well, he asked him, "Which command is the first of all?" Yeshua answered, "The first is this: Listen, Israel, our God is one. Love your God with all your heart, with all yourself, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the scribe told him. "You have spoken the truth. God is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, this is far more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Yeshua saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the reign of God." And after that, no one dared to question him any further. As Yeshua was teaching in the temple, he asked, "How can the scribes say that the Anointed One is the son of David?" David himself, in the sacred Ruha, said, "God said to my master, 'Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" David himself calls him master. So how can he be his son? And the great crowd listened to him gladly. In his teaching, he said, "Watch out for the scribes. They love to walk around in long robes and to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have the front seats in the gatherings and the places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and for show they make long prayers. These will receive a heavier judgment." Then he sat down across from the treasury and watched the crowd putting their money in. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and put in 2 small coins, worth only a penny. He called his students to him and said, "Amen, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others who gave to the treasury, for they all gave out of their abundance. But she, out of her need, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Mark chapter 13. As he was leaving the temple, one of his students said to him, "Teacher, look, what stones, what buildings." And Yeshua said to him, "You see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives facing the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to come to an end?" And Yeshua began to tell them, "Watch out that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must happen, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and reign against reign. There will be earthquakes from place to place. There will be famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains. But you, watch out for yourselves. They will hand you over to the councils, and in the gatherings you will be beaten, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them. And first, the hopeful news must be proclaimed to all the nations. And when they lead you away and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you will say. Whatever is given you in that hour, say that, for it is not you who speak, but the sacred Ruha. Brother will hand over brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against their parents and put them to death. And you will be hated by everyone for my name's sake. But the one who holds out to the end, he will live. When you see the desolating horror standing where it must not stand, let the reader understand. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the roof, let him not come down or go in to take anything out of his house. And whoever is in the field, let him not go back for his cloak. How hard it will be in those days for women who are pregnant and for those nursing. Pray that it does not happen in winter. For those days will bring such suffering as has not been from the beginning of creation, which God made until now, and never will be again. And if God had not cut short those days, no flesh would live. But for the sake of the chosen, the ones he chose, he has cut the days short. And then, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Anointed One," or "Look, there he is," do not trust it. For false anointed ones and false prophets will rise up and give signs and wonders to lead astray, if they can, even the chosen. But you, watch out. I have told you everything beforehand. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and majesty. And then he will send out the angels and gather his chosen from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of heaven. Learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as its branch turns tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things happening, you know that he is near, right at the doors. Amen, I tell you. This generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Stay alert. Stay awake. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man away on a journey, who left his house and gave his slaves authority, each with his work, and told the doorkeeper to keep watch. So keep watch, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn, so that he does not come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, keep watch. Mark chapter 14. The Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes kept looking for a way to seize him by some trick and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people will riot. While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came in as he reclined at the table. She had an alabaster jar of perfume, pure nard, very costly. She broke the jar and poured it over his head. Some were there, indignant among themselves. Why has this perfume been wasted? It could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her harshly. But Yeshua said, "Leave her alone. Why are you troubling her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. You always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She has anointed my body ahead of time for burial. Amen, I tell you. Wherever this hopeful news is proclaimed, in all the world, what she has done will be told too, in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him silver. So he watched for the right moment to hand him over. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his students said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his students and told them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my students?' And he will show you a large upstairs room, furnished and ready. Prepare for us there." The students went out and came into the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening came, he arrived with the 12. And while they were reclining and eating, Yeshua said, "Amen, I tell you, one of you will hand me over, one who is eating with me." They began to grieve and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one dipping his bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man goes, as it is written of him. But how terrible for the man who hands the Son of Man over. it would have been better for that man if he had never been born. While they were eating, he took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many. Amen, I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new in the reign of God." And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Yeshua said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else falls away, I will not." Yeshua told him, "Amen, I tell you, today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter kept insisting, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And they all said the same. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his students, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be shaken and deeply troubled. He said to them, "My grief is crushing me, to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Going on a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he came back and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? You couldn't keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray, so that you don't come into the trial. Ruha is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. When he came back, again he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is handed over into the hands of those who miss the mark. Get up, let's go. Look, the one handing me over has drawn near." Right then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him came a crowd carrying swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. The one handing him over had given them a sign. "The one I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." He came up and went straight to Yeshua. "Rabbi," he said, and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and seized him. But one of those standing there drew his sword, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his ear. Yeshua said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to take me as if I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." Then they all deserted him and ran. A young man was following him, with nothing on but a linen cloth. They seized him, but he left the linen cloth behind and ran away naked. They led Yeshua away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. He sat with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole council kept looking for testimony against Yeshua so they could put him to death, and they found none. Many gave false testimony against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will tear down this temple made by hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made by hands.' Yet even so, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up in front of them all and questioned Yeshua. "Have you no answer?" he said. "What is this they testify against you?" But he stayed silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest questioned him. "Are you the Anointed One?" he said, "the Son of the Blessed?" "I am," said Yeshua. "And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his robes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he said. "You have heard the blasphemy. What is your verdict?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face and struck him with their fists. "Prophesy," they said, and the guards slapped him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked straight at him. "You too were with the Nazarene, with Yeshua," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know him, and I don't understand what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, and a rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him there and began again to say to those standing around, "This man is one of them." Again he denied it. A little later, those standing there said to Peter again, "You really are one of them. You're a Galilean." Then he began to curse and to swear, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Just then, a second time, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word Yeshua had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Mark chapter 15. Right away, at dawn, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council reached their decision. They bound Yeshua, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You say so," he answered. And the chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him, "Have you no answer at all? Look how many charges they bring against you." But Yeshua answered nothing more, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner, whomever they asked for. A man called Barabbas was in chains with the rebels, men who had done murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and began to ask him to do what he always did for them. Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he knew it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Again Pilate spoke to them, "Then what should I do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why? What wrong has he done?" Pilate said. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and Yeshua he had flogged, and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away into the courtyard, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole company. They dressed him in purple, twisted together a crown of thorns, and set it on him, and they began to salute him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat on him, and knelt down before him in mockery. And when they had mocked him, they stripped off the purple, put his own clothes back on him, and led him out to crucify him. A man was passing by, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they forced him to carry his cross. They brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he would not take it. and they crucified him. They divided his clothes among themselves, casting lots for them to decide who would take what. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads. "Aha! You who would tear down the temple and build it in 3 days, rescue yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests and the scribes mocked him among themselves. "He made others live, but he can't make himself live. Let the Anointed One, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, so we can see and trust." And the men crucified with him taunted him too. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Yeshua cried out in a loud voice, "Elohi, Elohi, lema shevaktani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those standing there heard it and said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. "Wait," he said, "let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." But Yeshua, with a loud cry, breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. When the centurion standing across from him saw how he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger, and of Joses, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for him, and many others had come up with him to Jerusalem. Evening had already come, and it was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was himself waiting for the reign of God, gathered his courage, went into Pilate, and asked for the body of Yeshua. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him whether Yeshua had died some time ago. And when he learned it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching where he was laid. Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled back, and it was very large. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, dressed in a white robe, and they were terrified. "Don't be terrified," he said to them. "You're looking for Yeshua the Nazarene, the one who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now go. Tell his students and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Early on the first day of the week, after he had risen, he appeared first to Mary of Magdala, from whom he had driven out seven evil spirits. She went and told those who had been with him, while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not trust it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them, as they were walking along, on their way into the country. They went back and told the rest, but they would not trust them either. Later he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. He rebuked their lack of trust and their hard hearts, because they had not trusted those who saw him after he was raised. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the hopeful news to all creation. Whoever trusts and is immersed will live, but whoever does not trust will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who trust. In my name, they will drive out evil spirits. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will be well." So then, after the Master Yeshua had spoken with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed everywhere, while the Master worked with them, confirming the word by the signs that followed.